Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. It's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's a hump day, and I have a commute home, and interstate is a friggin' parking lot, as always, ever since this whole flooding mess. We're almost back to full speed here after the flood. There's a lot of streets that are, you know, they're open. It's just some of them are one lane each way because the roads are all jacked up, whether it's, you know, sinkholes and whatnot, potholes. Yeah, we get potholes in Houston too. I mean, I thought when I moved here with the roads being flat and also in a straight line, by the way, yeah, every road here in Houston's flat and in a straight line. I figured the condition of the roads wouldn't be too bad, but actually it's worse. You know, Pittsburgh has its issues because, well, for one thing, Pittsburgh's very mountainous, whereas Houston is pretty much a giant swamp. So if you're building infrastructure on a swamp, you're going to have problems because it gets very wet. Right. So, going over some topics here. The first one I'm going to start out with is obviously the James Franklin issue that it happened on Saturday, but we're on Wednesday now and we're still talking about it. Not so much Pitt fans in general, but meet local media, who one person in from our flagship station, who I won't mention his name, writes an article about it. I mean, think about this. This happened on a Wednesday. Not a Wednesday, I'm sorry, a Saturday. And we're on Wednesday, and we're still writing articles about it. For God's sakes, it's over. I didn't really care that he did it. I mean, it doesn't bother me. You know, he's playing a lesser opponent. He beat the crap out of them, and he stepped on their neck at the end of it. We're going to say he curb stomped them. So people got enraged over him. Maybe, you know, James Franklin is embracing this whole bad guy role. After being Pitt, he compares him to Akron pretty much. Now he does this. But if anything, could be. Maybe he's a little cocky. He's feeling good about himself, obviously, because all the hard work he's put in the last few years with recruiting and whatnot has paid off. I mean, he just won a Big Ten title, finished in the top 10. His team's right now number 4, and if the season probably ended right now, they would still be on the outside looking in probably in the playoffs. So he's riding a big wave right now, and it's going to get even bigger now because the Big Ten season kicks in, and he's got Iowa coming up, but he's got a big slate coming up with, you know, Ohio State and Michigan coming up. So, I mean, he's in a rough stretch right now. So, it's not going to be easy for him. I mean, he's going to be, at Ohio State. Yeah, at Ohio State he's got. But as long as JT Barrett keeps sucking, they should have no problem winning that game. But he's got Michigan at home, which is even better for him. So, I mean, the rest of the schedule is pretty much a cakewalk for him until he gets to the, you know, championship game. So, yeah, the guy's obviously feeling good about himself. I don't give a shit. Sorry, excuse my language. Just got a text message, and really, I didn't get, you know, it's one of those informational texts, and of course, I said I didn't give a there. Which is what you get when you live podcast with me driving in a car. But yeah, he's got it made right now, and you can't blame him. for it at all. But sometimes there's those humbling moments we all get. And of course, you know, he was on that wave last year. He had a humbling moment, a very humbling moment in the Rose Bowl, you know, where they blew that lead. And I guess a four loss USC team. That was the funny part, was, you know, when Penn State was up big in that game, people were saying they made their case. And they really didn't, because they were struggling against a USC team that was a four-loss team. So, no, they didn't make no case at all. All I did was strengthen the argument for Ohio State. If they really wanted to make their case, they would have blew out USC, which they didn't. They struggled with them, and that was that. So spare me the whole state your case crap. But really what I'm more enraged with than anything else than James Franklin freezing a kicker is the fact that we are in year three of this Pat Narduzzi era, and our defense sucks ass. His first year defense was somewhat tolerable, but last year it was really bad, and this year it looks even worse. And coupled with the fact that the article comes out about them not remembering what they were doing. They had the technique right, they had the coverage right, I mean, to me, that's alarming. I mean, seriously, you went to a game and you forgot how to play. And, you know, Pat Narduzzi feels good about the film. I mean, here's what really happened in this game. The defense had a big grudge match against Penn State, which had a high-powered offense. And, of course, after that was over, they had to go face Oklahoma State, which had another tough physical offense as well. Fast. Pitt pretty much decided to call it a day. Decide, hey, you know, we're not fighting this. Just beat us. That's really what happened. They said the hell with it and they just freaking quit. And on top of that, the offense didn't help much either. And I had a poster jump. I had somebody reply to my podcast. Actually, I appreciate his listen. He's not crazy about DiNucci as the quarterback. And I guess I based DiNucci being better because of the fact that he moved the ball and he stopped the bleeding. And of course, people said there were some passes that could have been picked off. And yeah, he turned the ball over as well. But, you know, I respect his opinion because, you know, that's just what it is. You know, we're allowed to have different opinions, and just as long as you respect them, hey, I respect. I'm actually surprised somebody actually listened to my podcast. That's when I first got the reply. I was like, shoot, he listened to this? He understood it? Mark, hey, I appreciate it, man. Keep rolling. Let's hope you're right about Max Brown and I'm wrong. Because I like to be wrong. But the thing is, just like last podcast, I was under the impression Pitt was playing Rice this week, and they're not, obviously. That's what happens when you're on call for the hospital and you get no sleep. You get everything, it's all jacked up. Your memory, your mind, and whatnot. And now I just need this next week to friggin' decompress it all. So they're going against Georgia Tech, which is going to be a third really tough physical team they're going to play in a row. And whether they like it or not, they're going to have to show up. I mean, whatever it is, get it fixed. If you're forgetting your technique, your whatever it is, from that article I read in the PG, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm sure these guys have played football their whole lives. They should know what the hell they're doing. So, yeah, that was the frustrating part of it all. I mean, just hearing those type of comments. And, you know, if Pat Narduzzi really wanted to have a media blackout, he should have had it after that game. Because I sure as hell didn't need to read that crap. Oof. So, you know, it's odd because I wanted to talk about another tire topic, but I guess I'll talk about Georgia Tech. Again, Tech loves to run the ball because it's Paul Johnson. And it seems it's crazy. I mean, the guy wins games with this scheme. I didn't think he'd get too far with this scheme or let him keep a job, but it's done wonders for him. You know. I mean, hey, I love this type of old school offense. And the fact he can make this work. The fact that he can line up and just bruise up the other team. So again, Pitt's gonna be in for another type of tough physical game. I mean, Tech brings it every year. Pitt's won the last two meetings, each by a field goal. Both by Blewett, as you know. He boomed that long field goal 2 years ago. We got the yes from Pat Bostic, as you all remember. And that was a big win for Pitt. A huge win. And they just kept it going. And again, this past year, they won again by a field goal. And I think it shanked the upright and just like went in. They let the clock run down. I think that was the game. I don't know. I just know it was a close game. But, I mean, the two meetings before that, Tech had our number. Especially the one game we played in, we unveiled Pitt's script, where it was, you know, Steve Pearson's last, you know, desperate move to get some positivity going. Because people just turned on him. It's a shame that, you know, Chancellor Nordenberg resigned when he did. Because, you know, if we could have kept, you know, Peterson for a few more years, I mean, we managed to get the script back. Maybe if we kept him for a few more years, he could have got us the on-campus stadium back. You know, we could have had that nice little stadium in Panther Hollow, or just tear down Posvar Hall. That's my dream, is to tear down Pause Bar. Put a stadium there. Although we probably would ruin the Shinley, whatever that thing is, that little park green space they put in. But think about that. You'd have it right there under the cathedral over you. And just imagine, after a Pitt win, you get to look up at the cathedral and you get to see the lights come on from your seat in the stadium. I mean, it would be freaking glorious. Tell me you wouldn't want that. It would be definitely better than watching those freaking ketchup bottles pour freaking whatever that digital crap going in the red zone. Which leads me to my next topic. Attendance. Yes. I'm going to drop some reality on people here. Oklahoma State is a very good team, obviously. But to the casual football fan in Pittsburgh, they don't care about Oklahoma State. They don't watch. A lot of them don't watch college football like we do. They don't. I find that a lot of people that hate college sports never went to college. And there's a good bit of them. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but there's a good majority of them. If they never went to college, they just don't like college sports at all. They have no relation, because they have no relation to it, because they ain't go. But you don't have to have relation to, you don't have to go to college to relate to college sports. Hell, there's other ways you can relate to it. You can gamble. Gambling always helps. It helps you relate to all kinds of sports. I mean, I would say, DFS doing FanDuel. Shoot, I knew more about the NBA after that than anything else. Although, man, I watched the Rockets, but I knew more about the players then than anything else. Because I had to choose my players. But yeah, the casual fan of Pittsburgh is not going to care about Oklahoma State. Maybe if it's Penn State, West Virginia, because you got all those redneck hoopies. I shouldn't say rednecks. In today's America, that's a bit. I'm probably labeling them pretty bad, painting with a broad brush. But Penn State, Notre Dame, and West Virginia. There you go. And of course there's Nebraska. Nebraska likes to travel too. So as far as how that conference goes, outside of those, Penn State, West Virginia, Notre Dame, Pitt's not really going to draw anything else unless they schedule Ohio State or Michigan. That's about it. Maybe even, Pitt did schedule Michigan State one year and State wasn't that full. But, I mean, the casual football fan isn't going to show up to watch Oklahoma State. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, they're just Oklahoma State. The name carries weight in the Midwest, obviously, but in the Northeast, it doesn't. Maybe if Ben Roethlisberger went to Oklahoma State, maybe more fans show up. But that's about it. But the Pitt football attendance issue is just a tired ass issue. So it just is what it is. It's been that way for years. Pitt moved into a 65,000 seat stadium at Heinz Field with hopes that they would fill that thing up. And that dream was realized in 2003. When that stadium was packed every game. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I went to that first game with Kent State. I mean, it was Kent State, by all things. But it was just so refreshing to be in a full stadium. And they just kicked the snot out of Kent State. I mean, it was freaking great. But now, with how that season turned out, which was a shame, they had the momentum. Larry Fitzgerald was a Heisman Trophy front runner, and they were shooing to win the Big East. And they were all they had to do was beat Miami in that last game of the season. As bad as stuff turned out that year, the cluster screw ups. That with Notre Dame, blowing the Notre Dame game, although Notre Dame wasn't even, wasn't a conference, game. But West Virginia, they lost that game. They were still in it at the end, and all they had to do was beat Miami, and they were in the Orange Bowl, and they couldn't do it. Miami wasn't even that good. That's when things started to fall apart. Miami. That's when. When they lost to Virginia Tech that year, and it wasn't even close. You saw that momentum they built up under Butch Davis, Larry Coker, fall down the tubes. Because, you know, it didn't matter, you know, who they lost or whatever. They always beat Virginia Tech. And Tech hammered them that year. But Pitt would manage, you know, beat Tech, you know, that year as well. But yeah, all I had to do was beat Miami, and they just couldn't do it. And that's the shameful part. It doesn't matter how bad Miami sucks. They always beat us. It's frustrating. It's a frustrating thing. And after that, it was all downhill. But Pitt had a slight resurgence under Dave Wannstedt. The year 2010 or 2009, I believe. Yeah, 2009, when they made that run to the Big East. They did pretty well attendance-wise. I mean, it wasn't 2003, you know, full, but it was. They were hitting almost 50,000 a game, I think, according to the numbers. And it all built up to that Cincinnati game when that stadium was packed. And Pitt did what they do best. Yep. Unfortunately. But that's just how it goes. And that's the thing. Pitt's going to get probably 40 to 50,000 a game. You know, and if, I mean, that's just how it is. It just depends on the product. If the product sucks, they'll get 35, 40. But if it's decent, they'll get 45, 50. But the program just is what it is. I mean, it's a 7-8 win program at best. Unless Pat Narduzzi can pull off some miracles with these good players he recruited, it's going to be, you know, be more of the same. You know. So all I can say is, if you love Pitt, keep going to the games, keep supporting. Because trust me, there's plenty of programs that, you know, win 7-8 games a year maybe, and they're getting 70,000 for a game. I mean, look at Tennessee. Tennessee's mediocre as hell, and they still pack their stadium. There's a lot of programs like that. It happens. Excuse my language. But with Pitt, I mean, it's different. You know, the fans, you know, if it's not good, they're just not going to show up. You know, because you got one side saying, you know, if you want Pitt to have this, you got to show up. You got the other side saying, until Pitt puts out a product, I'm not giving them any money. I'm not going to make that drive, make that flight. I'm not doing any of that. Whereas you got other programs like Nebraska's one of them. They'll show them no matter what because they love Nebraska football. But, I mean, with Pitt, the love affair is a bit different. You know, it just is what it is. I mean, it's just a different breed. I think as fans, we're more cynical. Whereas other fan bases, the Kool-Aid is just drinking. But, anyways, I'll end it here. So, let's hope for a better game on Saturday. Hopefully they show up, and hopefully they remember how to tackle. Because God forbid. As far as the offense goes, I mean, hopefully they get this figured out. Who you want to start. And maybe, you know, Max Brown getting pulled at the half, maybe that sets a little fire under his ass and realizes, hey, we wanted to give you this starting job, and of course, we're going to pull it from you now because you're obviously not holding up your end of the bargain. You're actually, when we accepted your transfer, we were hoping you would actually show up and play and execute. You're not doing it. So we got to rely on this guy. So we may let you play against Tech, but you're going to have to execute. I mean, we've seen it before, but I mean, like I said, Rod Rutherford in his first year, I mean, his first year as a starter, he got pulled for Palco, and after that, he had a, you know, Palco didn't do all that great. But it lit, you know, lit a fire under Rutherford, and he ended up taking the job back. It was his to keep until he graduated. Palco got pulled in his first year, too, for Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco at the time was a statue, and he was there briefly because Pitt's offensive line was so bad. They could have Dan Marino back there, and it wouldn't have even been any better. But after that, it lit a fire under Palco, and that was that. So maybe it works for Max Brown, but you know, he's been pulled several times already that I don't know if it will. He's been pulled 2 games in a row. Third time's a charm, maybe? Who knows? But anyways, hell to Pitt. Good luck on Saturday.